All right. Well, thank you for coming this morning. How many here for the first time? Hadn't been here before. You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Anybody here from the last time? You can just go on now. We're friendly, but they push it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? This afternoon, join us for a cut-a-thon to help cut out cancer. That is the mayor and her crew at her beauty shop located at 6th Avenue South in North Myrtle Beach, across from the post office. 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, all haircuts are $10. Refreshments will be served. Bald-headed people will pay the same. We charge just as much for looking for it as we do cutting it. So, you have no excuse. Get on in there. I'm telling you the truth. I'm glad to see you all here. Tommy's back and Connie from Mexico. Glad to have them. Said we're now famous in Mexico. All right. If you brought a Bible, Acts 26:13 is where we will begin. Give you time to get there. We thank you folks listening by radio and the World Wide Web. We go around the world from here now. Isn't that amazing that you can come to a little place like this where we're not hard to find. We're the last building in the country. How hard can it be? I mean, no wonder it's full. See, you can go a mile south, a mile north, and that's it. And that's us. And so we're glad to be here at North Myrtle Beach. If you folks listening on the radio don't have a church home, come on down and be with us. If you have a church home, your preacher isn't all that good, come on down here with us. We'll be glad to have you. I'm telling you. Chapter 26, the book of Acts, we will read after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to the throne of grace upon which the Rock of Ages sits. And we do that because of your leniency. I always am amazed that you will turn an ear our way to hear such as us as we sing your praises because we love you. And as we pray to you, for we worship you. And as we preach your word so people can come to know you as we do. And thank you for the beautiful day you have given us, for those guests here for the first time, those listening by way of radio, wherever you are. You didn't tune in accidentally. You stopped at that place on your dial so you could get a message today. And I promise you, sure as I'm standing here, something I say will be for you if you will but listen. Lord Jesus, remove me from this place that you be heard. As always, please remove from the minds of people all that should be not there that I say, and embed in it like granite what should be that I say, that you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. So this morning we study in this book the conversion of a man who was definitely against Christianity, Paul. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was raised a Pharisee, which was the strictest set of Judaism, the sect. I mean, they were the teetotalers and the nitpickers, and they did everything just right. And he excelled in their studies. He studied under Gamaliel, which was the greatest teacher of their day. He spoke several languages, and he traveled about after the Damascus Road experience, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's explaining now in a court of law what had happened to him and what brought about his conversion. And it would do well to listen to this, because we get a lot of people here who say, well, I'm old, we don't have many children in our group here, a lot of white hair and long of tooth. And we get a lot of people who know in their heart that it isn't too much longer before they'll leave it. And sometimes when you get to that age, you say, well, I've heard about church and know about Jesus, and this isn't new to me, but I've done so much that is too late for me, probably. No, you'll never catch Paul in his sinning. He hated the church of Jesus Christ so badly, he went to the magistrate, as it were, to get special permission to cross county lines, as we would call it, to capture Christians and bring them in. And from that point on, they were either fighting in the Colosseum, they were killed, they were treated terribly, they were thrown in jail, they were burned at the stake. And the Apostle Paul, the greatest theologian in the Scriptures, is the man who did all that. And you'll never catch, if you're trying to make who committed the worst sins, you'll never even approach what he did. And yet the Lord chose him for that reason, to show his power in the conversion of one man and what he could do. And because of the Apostle Paul, the Western world is like it is today, because of the conversion of this one man. And he is telling in the court what happened. He said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way," meaning the road, "a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." So he's saying here, in the midday sun, in the area we see on television today, Babylon and Baghdad and that whole area of the desert, we can't feel it, but every now and then the Weather Channel shows how hot it is in the summer. They did last year. And the heat there is tremendous. No trees and no nice ocean and a breeze like we have here all the time. And the sun shines brightly in the desert. And yet at midday, when the sun is at its peak, Paul sees a light brighter than the midday sun. You and I can't imagine anything that bright, but what he had seen, he begins to tell us in a minute, what he was allowed to see was a portion of the glory of God. He didn't get to see it all. No man ever has. Anybody tells you on television that they were caught up to heaven and goes through that diatribe, try to get you some good music and read a good book, because he's lying to you. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light, that if you could even approach that light as immortal as you are now, you would totally disintegrate before you got anywhere near. And that is what would happen and what will happen, fool with God. In fact, he's going to bring light to earth. If you'll get on over to Revelation, where you folks named Josiah, he's going to take 200 million out of here by just speaking. And they've got God coming home from the beauty shop instead of going down to the beauty shop. And, you know, his little long hair and clean little robe tipping through the tiptoes of Jerusalem. This isn't the way it happened. He left here, came here as a little lamb in the manger, and that's the way we want to see him. Unfortunately, too many people want to keep him there. This grew up to be a soldier, a fighter. He grew up to be the King of Kings. He's the warlord of warlords, and he's going to unload on 200 people by just blinking his eyes, and they're going to die. So, well, I didn't know that. Listen careful. You may be there. And when we were all fallen to earth, can you imagine that? Just because they saw this light, Paul and the group with him fell to earth. Now, I can understand if they shoot something at you. I can understand if it's a laser that cuts you in half. But they just saw it and fell to earth. It's not the only time this happened. Remember when they arrested Jesus? There were 200 to 600 people there with staves, it says, which is a stick, and their battle instruments, and came to arrest one little old man standing there with his group. And they run upon him to arrest him, and he said, Why'd you bring those sticks, fellas? Did you really think you were going to hurt me with a bunch of sticks? I made the trees and looked at them, and 200 to 600 of them, however many were there, fell on their face. Just because he spoke. So this is the God that who spoke to Paul. And he said, after we fell to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, that was his name before the conversion, then it became Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the goads. the goads, have you ever seen an ox cart and up front they got two poles sticking out sharpened at the ends? You wonder what that was for. You don't steer with it. It's just there. What does it do? Well, oxen are hard to deal with. Hard-headed. You know about hard-headed folks. You've met a few. And they would back up on you sometime. They didn't want to go where you wanted to go. So the farmers figured it out. They just put two big stakes there like a ball bat with a point on it. And if he backed up about 6 inches, he hit them. And he's saying, back up, big boy. You know those things weigh a couple of tons. Back up. Help yourself. And he backed up into that sharp stick and said, I believe it's safer to go in the other direction. And this is what the Lord is telling Paul, is you're a fool fight against me. And we see it today with secular humanism and the atheistic societies and all this other stuff. We're allowed to say ox dung, aren't we, Larry? Okay, all this other ox dung that's around. And they want to fight against God. Well, how foolish can you get? This is the height of absurdity to fight against God. You can't even handle his ocean out there. It covers 3/5 of the world. Let alone him. How would you fight the power of a volcano? How about an earthquake? How about hailstones that are coming at 135 pounds? What you gonna catch them with? You don't know who you're fooling with, you see. And Paul didn't know. He's out killing Christians, and Jesus says, he said, who are you, Lord? And that Lord there means Jehovah. Who are you, God? Who are you, Jehovah? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And I have people say, well, I never read the Bible where Jesus said he was God. Read that. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, which was miraculous, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And he said, I'm going to show you more things later. And of course he did, and took Paul through shipwrecks and beatings and jails, and said when the Apostle Paul went to a town to hold a revival, he never checked out the local convention center or the Holiday Inn for comfort. He always checked by the jail first because he knew he was going to end up there sooner or later. Need more preachers like that. Need more preachers like that that don't care. Put some of us in jail, we'll thank you because it's a captive audience. Pull out the Bible and take it into preaching. Delivering thee from the people, that's the Jewish people, and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this is his mission. And this is your message, which we will preach. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So we see the mission of Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. We see the mission here to every preacher, evangelist, Sunday school teacher, and Christian layman who has ever been. These are marching orders. The church has gotten to the point where it'll hire a preacher, and they buy him a nice house and give him a nice car, and they pay him a lot of money, and this is their insurance. Because now he can't step on your toes. So you didn't give me nothing. You can leave now if you want to. Okay? I just showed up. I didn't replace Brother John. You ain't voting on me to get another replacement. If anybody's leaving, stack your chair carefully. Okay? Here to preach the gospel. So he said to us, open their eyes. Isn't that strange? That the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, would pick this man for a mission and instruct him that his duty was to open their eyes. I thought everybody's eyes were open. But none is so blind as he who will not see. And we have selective sight, like the K&W has selective food. We see what we want. We don't see the harm in things that we don't want to see harm in. We don't want to see the danger in the things that we don't want to see the danger in. We don't want to see the bad in people we like because we've got them down as good people. There's no such animal. Don't you remember somebody came to Jesus and said good to him, and he said, why you call me good? Nobody's good but God. Did you think I was God? Nobody's good. Good is a derivative of God. To say he's a goodly man is to say he's a godly man. And I know some of the worst heathens in the world that people will say, boy, he's good. He's a good old boy, isn't he? No, he's damned going to hell. He's rotten to the core, and he needs to be saved. No, he's not a good old boy. He does some nice things. That don't make you in the club. That doesn't get you on the program. You're just a rotten, no good, hell-bound sinner who did some good things. World's full of them. You see, they think that's the payoff. Hollywood gives millions of dollars to cure AIDS. They ought to. They caused it. Now they're trying to make up their bad with their money for the good. It won't work. Not going to happen. We sometimes are late opening our eyes. We've done that in giving the school system to the secular humanists. Saw a good brother in Christ preaching last night. And he had the man with him, a school teacher from California, who had been fired because he had a Bible on his desk. He didn't read it to anybody. He wasn't trying to convert anybody. He didn't encourage anybody to bring theirs. He read it at his lunch break. And they said, no, we can't have that. Now, the bookcase to his right had Islam. It had the religion of the Indians, the Great Spirit. It had Buddhism. I never understood Buddhism. Why would you worship anybody if you don't believe there's anybody to worship? It's completely nonsensical. We're worshiping who? Well, we don't believe in God. Well, get up for man, go to work. For heaven's sake. You see, we're blind. We can't see. We have people that worship tomatoes and alligators and snakes in the world. It's awful. It's awful. It's unbelievable what people worship. You got people in this country worship their job. Then the country moves to Mexico and there went God. Over for them, isn't it? Isn't it sad that people won't step back and say, where is this taking me if I do it? Where are these people going that I want to go? And why am I with them? Peer pressure kills more children than anything in the world. Somebody told me the other day they want me to talk to their daughter, and I will do the best I can. And she's into this and into that, won't pay attention. Schoolwork's gone down. She described to me, well, I know exactly what's happening. If the little girl will listen. And I said, well, she's a teenager. I'll get over. How old is she? She said, 11. You got to be kidding. Average prostitute, give me them better teeth. The average prostitute in America on the street is 13 years of age. We didn't see this coming? Know this was coming? You can't teach abstinence in school. You can teach how to use a condom and give them out. Try to let the Gideons in there to give out a New Testament. Won't happen, will it? We didn't see this coming. We've got supposedly intelligent people saying, let's legalize dope. I have a better idea. Let's get rid of it. Didn't we see this coming? Well, let's have movies and TV now, and let's, let's teach the children about sex at an early age, and they're going to do it anyhow. We might as well do that. Congratulations. Now you kill 1,500,000 5,000 little babies before they get to be born. Damn you. We didn't see that coming. Nobody opened eyes. I read the saddest thing, one of them, there's so many now, you can't pick them out. Little girl's at a high school dance. Had a break, she went to the bathroom, gave birth to a baby, drowned him in the toilet, put him in the garbage can, and went back to the dance. And nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw the direction we were going in and said, maybe we better turn around. Many people saw it. But the silent majority has been silent too long. Time to speak up. If anybody needs to come out of the closet, it's the born again, blood washed sons of the living God. Not too late to turn this country around. If we don't do it in the next 5 years, it will go down, I promise you. It will go down. I told my wife last night, I said, boy, that next depression is going to be a honey, isn't it? No farms to go to, home to mama and raise some crops and get some chickens and make it through. That isn't going to happen this time. There's no farms. Nowhere to go. Millions of more people. There'll be no gas, there'll be no oil, nowhere to go, there'll be no jobs, there'll be no food. Then what do? You fight in the street, right? You kill each other. And the countries that were going to kill us just back off and watch us do it to ourselves. We are the most prosperous, dumbest country in the history of man. We didn't see it coming. 19 of 21 civilizations, great civilizations, Arnold Toynbee, the great historian, said, have fallen from the inside out. They weren't conquered. Nobody's going to conquer us. We got legislators now that would actually prevent us going to war to protect ourselves. Wondering if it's the right thing to do. Well, they only hit us with a small atomic bomb. Should we really retaliate? And we have people making laws who think this way. It's unbelievable. Did we not see this coming? We were blind and had our eyes shut, and that's what Jesus said. Look, go open their eyes. That's what the preacher's supposed to be doing today. I'll try to help. Turn them from darkness to light. Now, as you remember last week we talked about the little fellow in the pig pen. Finally went home. Remember what the Bible said? Came to his senses. He was feeding the hogs. Mud all over him, trying to feed the hogs, saying, my goodness, my daddy's servants are living better than me. And he came to his senses, it says, but then it said what? And he went home. He did something about it. He took a step in the right direction. That boy turned from darkness to light. And it's all right to turn. It's all right to go back some. You see, it's all right down here. We live in the sand down here. And we know when you get stuck in the sand that it's okay to back up some. You keep going, you'll end up in that ocean. We know you can let a little air out of the tires and back up some, and you can get off the road and continue your journey. It's okay to back up some when things are going wrong. You see, it's perfectly all right to teach young men to hold the door open for young ladies again. That'd be all right. It's perfectly all right to hold a chair for somebody to sit down. I held one for a lady over there. It hadn't happened to her in so long, it scared her. She said, what are you doing? Is this your chair? I said, no, ma'am, I'm just being nice. Just being nice. You weren't used to that. It's okay to pick up your date on the porch, not at the curbside. It's okay not to go and buy a $1,000 prom dress to wear one time just because everybody else does. It's okay just to stay home. It's okay to say no to your kids when they won't mind you. We had a little trouble with Scott, not much. God bless him. I loved him all his life. His mama loved him more than she does me. And that's all right, too. That's okay, too. but I was in there somewhere. But he started that, you know, going through that teenage stuff. I explained it to him. I said, we don't do that at our house. I know everybody else does. And I've never had to give you a whipping because you've listened. But if you ever talk back to me or get in my face, no, I will knock you out. Is that clear? And we're not right. And I know you've heard that you can call some of those initial people who come around your house telling you what to do. But they're 15 minutes from where we live. You'd be dead before they get here. My life is over. I've done everything I want to do. And when they come, guess what? I'm going to knock them out. You up against a case now, son. You have finally found somebody who just doesn't care. You can't do something with somebody who doesn't care. They'll back up against the wall and just die there. You see, that's the way Christians are supposed to be. See? We wouldn't have that. I saw in our paper, the mayor is here today. The love of my life is our mayor. I just love her. She's precious. She wasn't in office when this happened. They got a new dog to sniff out dope at the North Myrtle Beach High School and put the picture in the paper and all. They were real proud of that. I'd have done everything I could to keep anybody from ever knowing anything about it. Imagine having to take and buy a dog to sniff to see if the children's got dope in a little high school in the middle of the country. Blind. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Well, how do you do that? You do that by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the light is. Instead of not having it in your schools, it ought to be all that's taught first period. Well, somebody doesn't believe that. Several choices. Go to sleep. Cover your ears. Come to school second period. Stay in another room. We're proud of God. We love Him. If you don't, stay away from the places that preach His gospel. That's all I can tell you. But don't tell us we can't. See, the pornographers... The pornographers tell me, well, if you don't want to watch the pornography on TV, then just change the channel. And then they try to have preachers not on TV anymore. Why don't you just change the channel? If we want a manger scene downtown, we've had one since downtown started. We've had one since they claimed this beach in the name of Jesus Christ for the purpose of spreading His gospel. That's why the country was founded. If you can't deal with that, you go somewhere else. Oh, you can't say that? We'll offend somebody. I assume you found out I'd care a little about that. I remember a story to tell you about my daddy. My dad loved him. God bless him. He's listening today, I hope. I'm sitting in a restaurant. I'm about 15 with my daddy. A guy comes up to him and says, are you Dr. Norman Greenway? And he said, I sure am. He said, well, Dr. Greenway, I used to hear you preach down here in 1949. And we've moved away from here and I hadn't heard you in a long time. And boy, it's great to see you. And he said, well, it's good to see you. He introduced himself. And he said, I suppose you got a big church here in Greenville now. And he said, no, the churches of Greenville and I have some doctrinal differences that I won't budge on. And I'm not welcome in their pulpits. No, I don't. He said, what a shame. He said, a wonderful preacher like you knows that Bible like nobody I ever heard. Just a wonderful man of God and not preaching. Couldn't you go and preach with them and at least you'd have a crowd to preach to and kind of cross your fingers behind your back? I was glad I was finished my dessert. He wasn't angry, wasn't mad. Just said, sir, I'm getting on in age. And I won't be here many more years, and I know that. Very soon, I will see face to face the Christ who died for me, of whom I've preached for 50 years. I do not intend to stand in front of him with my fingers crossed. And I said, amen, greatest sermon I ever heard. And remember it till the day I die. And this is where we are today, saying, well, let's don't offend anybody. Let's don't make any mad. Let's don't turn them from darkness to light. Let's leave them in darkness. Sounds like an answer to me. How foolish we become. And from the power of Satan unto God. Today you don't hear much say about Satan. You don't hear much about the devil. You see, this is a sly being. This was an archangel. This was the most beautiful creature that had ever been created. He made angels look bad. He decided that he would elevate himself to the position of God. It didn't work. He got thrown out of heaven. And he is so slick, he got a third of the angels to go with him. You better know who you're fighting against. You better know the power of this one. Now, they have made it in most of the churches and in all the cities and all the schools. Well, we don't talk. That's kind of for the illiterate weak. We don't talk about Satan. See, they have put him in a red suit with a pitchfork and a little tail, and they've kind of laughed that off, haven't they? They've made fun of that, a cartoon of that. Well, see how funny that is. That's what the Bible says about it. Luke 4:6. And the devil said unto him, being Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I'll give it. You thought God owned the world? You've been singing that song, he's got the whole world in his hand. This land belongs to Satan. He's the god of this world. You want to read it in your book? 2 Corinthians 3:4. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who? The god of this world? Yes, the god of this world. You see, he stole the deed back from Adam when Adam fell. My elder brother shall take it back from him. You can read it in Revelation when they say, who's worthy to read the scroll? It doesn't say that baby lamb from Bethlehem. It says the lion from the tribe of Judah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Don't ever get the idea that you see these Chinese, what is it, yin and yang, half white, half black, evil and good fighting each other, that maybe it's an equal thing. We're going to see who's win. It's not even a contest, friend. Satan has absolutely no power against the sovereign Lord God. He has no chance whatsoever. But he will grind you to powder. He did it with powder. I got a friend here used to use a little powder. And he told me, he said, Beaver, cocaine is not of the devil. Cocaine is the devil. And then you look around the country and see what's happening. You say, maybe he's right. And why doesn't this stop in our country? I had the sheriff of an adjoining county, I won't say which one, talk to me one night. He said, we had a mothership coming up here, loaded. We'd got a tip on it. We knew who it was. We knew when they were coming, and we were ready. Said, we were lined up on the shore, ready to go out there, and I get a call from a location above Virginia that said, don't touch that boat. We'll handle it. And handle it. Unloaded it. There's a strip where Delta Airlines and Eastern used to practice in the Everglades of Florida, there's a landing strip. You used to have an airplane, we'd fly over it. It's a practice field for new pilots. They train a lot of pilots in Miami. And they don't want them practicing landing out there in front of everybody at the ticket line. That's a little scary, you know. So they practice their landings over in the Everglades. Some guy said, isn't that convenient? He brought in enough something to land there, unload, and left a 747 on the runway. Just left it. You know how much one of them cost? Nowhere near the price of what he took off that plane. You say, why doesn't somebody, if you know, why doesn't somebody else know? Oh, they know. But you see, if you bring people from darkness to light, you ruin the game. And the big money goes away. And we can't have that. We have too many people with their hands in the pot. Isn't that sad that a country under God came to that position? And we are being told we are not to turn them from darkness to light. We're to sit down and shut up and not say anything about it. According to who? Not according to Jesus. He said, tell them about it. This week, when you see something you don't like, condemn whoever's doing it. They weren't a friend anyway. Try to turn them from darkness to light. It's getting late, folks. And you and I have a lot of friends headed straight to hell if you and I don't do something about it, because they'll hear it nowhere else. It's okay to go backwards, isn't it? From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I would say forgiveness is the greatest word in the English language. Boy, everybody knows what that means, don't they? You go down to jail and say, by the way, you can go on home. You're forgiven. Nobody says, say what? Nobody says, would you say that again? Nobody says, I don't understand. Everybody heads for the door. Stand before the judge, and he says, well, yeah, but you're forgiven. And here I stand at my age, and you at yours, and you know your sins, and I know mine. And I say, what am I going to do now? You can't buy your way out. If being good will get you out, I'm a little late to start that now. Joining the church, I don't think will get it. I need forgiveness. Where did I get forgiveness? The Bible says there's but one place. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. One plus anything else is more than one. I'm not a math major, but I did understand that. Well, we're to be tolerant of other faiths. Why? They don't have a God. Well, they say they do. I don't care what they say. We can take this brook and prove that it's supernatural. If you think in any way, shape, or form that you have a God other than one here, bring your book. Let's look at it and let's see. That's all we ask. Let's level the playing field and let's talk about it. If you can show me 500 prophecies or five in your so-called holy book that have prophesied in the past and come present in the future, I might look at it. But until you have at least some, you have nothing. About 50 new religions start a day. Fellow asked a preacher, said, I'm thinking about starting a new religion. Wonder if you could help me. He said, yeah. I can help you. He said, what would you suggest I do? He said, well, start preaching your gospel, get caught, get crucified, lay in the ground 3 days, then get up. You'll have a heck of a start. But until you can, I'd leave it alone, because there's 1,000 other religions and none of them work. None of them work. You can only be forgiven by the one who paid for sin. Who else paid for it? As a matter of fact, what other religion says they have somebody who paid for sin? Do you know they aren't even there? That's the joke of it all, is they have nothing to offer. I love Dr. Shadrach, black preacher. Gosh, I love that man. He was saying, atheists asked him the other day, and they do when you debate them. They think it's the prime question. Where did God come from? And people like to give all these fanciful intellectual answers. And Shadrach looked at him and said, where'd God come from? God came from nowhere. There wasn't nowhere to come from. God just is. And when he came from nowhere to nowhere, then he reached out into nothing, made something out of it, and hung it back on nothing. And then clapped his hands and put 10 billion stars in the orbit. That's who he is, where he is, and why he is. Do you know him? Well, no, I don't believe in God. Shadrach gave him the biblical answer. Then you're a fool. No time for people like that. If you're going to get forgiven of stealing cup of coffee and a hamburger over here for Pam, you better see Pam. You better go and repent to the one whom you took it from. She's the only one that can okay it. When I sin against the holy and righteous and just God, I can only go to one to be forgiven. One who has paid for that sin for me in my place and said, it's all right, little fella, you're helpless, you're hopeless, and you're stupid, but I paid for it for you. Just trust in me and we'll go home together. My kind of God. My kind of God. What if then again, I have covered you from eternity past to eternity future. Do you not know whose blood I carry? It was the blood of God shed on Calvary's cross. It carries all the power of forgiveness that any description of power of the Almighty has. That's what this blood carries. There's nothing you've done, can do, or will think up to do that he hadn't covered. What a God. Well, maybe he can do some things, but I don't know. He's either all God or no God. He either forgave all sin for all time or no sin for no time. And as Paul said, if we believe in that kind of God, we're the most foolish. Paul said, if we believe in that kind of God, we're the most foolish of men. But we're not foolish, because this book was written by eyewitnesses. The accounts you read are very provable. The miracles did happen, and archaeology and everything else proved them, and only a fool will read that book and not believe what it says. Only a fool. Well, I have a professor of theology. You've told me enough. You've told me enough. And he says, I understand what he says. But you see, it's different hearing from a lost man than a saved man. The saved man knows he's been there. The saved man knows he's free. The saved man is the passeth all understanding, regardless of what comes down on his family or whatever. He knows the peace that passes all understanding. Peace of God, peace from God, and peace with God. It's the only peace worth having. The peace treaties have always been broken. If you have confidence in governmental peace treaties, I suggest you talk to an Indian as soon as you can. Had 1,000 wars. Millions have been killed. But you begin to wonder when they have war. And you take a mountain and you lose a friend on the right and you lose a friend on the left. And you're holding the hand of a buddy in back and look, and now you're just holding an arm. And then they give that hill back to the enemy next Tuesday. Don't ask me to go again. If we take it, let's keep it. That's the rule of war anyway, isn't it? Isn't that the basic rule of war? You know. If you start a fight with me and I take your country, it's mine. All except America. We will bomb you to smithereens and then we will exhort with the craziest people in the world. With the craziest people in the world. Easiest way to get rich in America is go up in North Carolina, capture one of them little Outer Bank Islands. Shoot a bow and arrow toward the United States, start a war. Right? Surrender immediately and apply for foreign aid. Work for everybody else. Work for everybody else. Not against any kind of people. Small, tall, curly hair, no hair, black, white, green, yellow, where from. But my friend to me, they meant throw at the Atwood. Tell you what? Meant to tell Brother Atwood about it. Tell you now, Brother Atwood. Lady on the police force, where was it, honey, Maryland? In Maryland? She was on the police force trying to be a policeman and do what she's supposed to do. Put her on the canine committee, you know, to handle the dogs. And she had her dog assigned to her, and the dog was well trained. The dog was trained to the point that he would attack you on her command, but he wouldn't kill you. He could if he wanted to. He'd just grab your arm, put you on the ground, and hold it just tight enough that you knew better than to pull away. That's what he was trained to do, and he's good at it. And someone who had entered our country illegally once and had been thrown out, now was back, broke in a home. Burglary. Police were called. She answered the call. Guy's coming out the window with the stuff and running. She turns Fido loose. It ain't long before he's got him by the arm and
submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed.
I'm watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness. I'm lost in His love. Now this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, what a Savior, oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed, scarred, his side was riven. He gave His life's blood for even me. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. All the day long. All the day long.
All right. Well, thank you for coming this morning. How many here for the first time and been here before? You welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. Anybody here from the last time? You can just go on now. We're friendly, but they push it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? This afternoon, join us for a cut-a-thon to help cut out cancer. That is the mayor and her crew at her beauty shop located at 6th Avenue South in North Myrtle Beach, across from the post office. 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, all haircuts are $10. Refreshments will be served. Bald-headed people will pay the same. We charge just as much for looking for it as we do cutting it. So, you have no excuse. Get on in there. I'm telling you the truth. I'm glad to see you all here. Tommy's back and Connie from Mexico. Glad to have them. Said we're now famous in Mexico. All right. If you brought a Bible, Acts 26, 13 is where we will begin. Give you time to get there. We thank you folks listening by radio and the World Wide Web. We go around the world from here now. Isn't that amazing that you can come to a little place like this where we're not hard to find. We're the last building in the country. How hard can it be? I mean, no wonder it's full. See, you can go a mile south, a mile north, and that's it. And that's us. And so we're glad to be here at North Myrtle Beach. If you folks listen on the radio don't have a church home, come on down and be with us. If you have a church home, your preacher isn't all that good, come on down here with us. We'll be glad to have you. I'm telling you. Chapter 26 in the book of Acts we will read after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to the throne of grace upon which the Rock of Ages sits. And we do that because of your leniency. I always am amazed that you will turn an ear our way to hear such as us as we sing your praises because we love you, and as we pray to you for we worship you, and as we preach your word so people can come to know you as we do. And thank you for the beautiful day you have given us, for those guests here for the first time, those listening by way of radio, wherever you are. You didn't tune in accidentally. You stopped at that place on your dial so you could get a message today. And I promise you, sure as I'm standing here, something I say will be for you if you will but listen. Lord Jesus, remove me from this place that you be heard. As always, please remove from the minds of people all that should be not there that I say. And embed in it like granite what should be that I say, that you be glorified, the church edified, and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. So this morning we study in this book the conversion of a man who was definitely against Christianity, Paul. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was raised a Pharisee, which was the strictest set of Judaism, the sect. I mean, they were the teetotalers and the nitpickers, and they did everything just right. And he excelled in their studies. He studied under Gamaliel, which was the greatest teacher of their day. He spoke several languages, and he traveled about after the Damascus Road experience, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's explaining now in a court of law what had happened to him and what brought about his conversion. And it would do well to listen to this because we get a lot of people here who say, well, I'm old. We don't have many children in our group here. A lot of white hair and long of tooth. And we get a lot of people who know in their heart that it isn't too much longer before they'll leave here.